Welcome to episode 441 of Fly Away. Over the past few years, we've been reminded time and again how much the world relies on travel. From supporting local economies to learning about new cultures, the experience that travel provides helps to make our world smaller and bring us closer together. Here at Outlander Travel, we've been proud to be a small part of bringing that to you through our weekly podcast. My name is George, and this week I'm joined by fellow Outlander travel agent, Donna.
Woohoo! Just me.
Is Spain one of the items on your bucket list? Spain boasts some of the most diverse and dazzling scenery, world-famous cuisine, and iconic architecture. Spain also has a rich history and culture that can be explored in its museums and cities. Recently, one of our fellow Outlander travel agents got to explore Barcelona and Seville, and she's here to share her impressions with us. Welcome back, Amy.
Thank you.
I think you're probably our most repeat Outlander agent.
Because I'm the favorite.
Oh, is that what it is?
No, you just do the more exotic stuff, and so yes, we definitely defer to you.
It's been busy lately, and now I'm off. I'm not doing anything for a few months at least, but yeah.
Wow. I'm sorry.
It's okay.
So tell us a little bit about the trip. It looks like you started in Barcelona, and I've never been to either one, so I know nothing.
This was my first time in Spain also, so I was so excited. We flew into Barcelona, and I stayed in Barcelona 5 nights, and then we took the train from Barcelona down to Sevilla, or Seville, and that was about a 5-hour train ride down there, and then we stayed in Seville for 3 nights. Then I was lucky enough to go back to Barcelona for another 4 nights on the back end and have my family come out and spend time with me there. So I kind of got to see it as a travel agent, as a job, and then I also got to explore it with my family and have a little bit of a different perspective, at least in Barcelona.
Cool. So give me an idea how the airport situation is over there.
The airport was so easy. You go into somewhere new, and even as a travel agent, even when you travel to Europe often, you just never know. I never knew how long it was going to take for me to get my checked bag, if my bag was even going to come, how long it was going to take to get through customs, if my driver would be waiting for me. Simple airport.
Well, I can tell you that, your bags don't always show up.
Yeah. I was going to say that.
I speak from experience.
Is that where that happened to you?
Oh, yeah. It was sitting in the baggage claim the entire week I was on a cruise, and I got back, and I was praying, let's see if it's in there. And sure enough, and then of course we our flight was delayed, so I made the connection, but my bags didn't, so they got lost again on the way.
So here's a pro tip, and I learned this because of experience like that, but my bag did make it this time. I always pack at least 2 little sets of clothes in my carry-on. My underwear, underwear, jammies, and like a dress or two or something you can wear just in case. Mine did make it this time. Customs was super quick. I arrived early in the morning. I feel like my flight arrived at like 7 or 8 a.m. So we didn't have a long customs line. I went right out. I found my driver right away. Right where I was, our hotel was right in the Gothic Quarter in like the historical area of Barcelona. And I'd say that drive is maybe 20-ish minutes. Not bad.
Cool. And what hotel did you stay at while you were there?
So I stayed in the Mercer, M-E-R-C-E-R, Mercer, Barcelona. And so Gothic Quarter is where a lot of the historical landmarks, kind of just this little area of Barcelona. It's down by the port and the beach. And there are a lot of little tiny windy streets. And our hotel was down one of those windy streets. So our driver couldn't drive down the street, so we had to go like kind of behind it, and our doorman met us down there. But it was a private kind of just, it was quite enough off the beaten path, but like a block and a half away was the hustle bustle of the whole Gothic Quarter. So it was a perfect location, and it had a tapas bar in it. So
hey, that's pretty handy.
Oh my gosh, and the food was delicious. I ate there at least 3 times during my stay there. Not embarrassed to say. It was great.
So from an accessibility standpoint, would this be a hotel that would work or not?
Depending on how accessible. So the driver has to park behind the hotel. You do have to walk up a slight incline. If you have a walker, sure, it's doable. There's an elevator once you get in. There's no steps. I have to say, if you look this hotel up or Google it, it is built around and in the old original watchtower of the 15th century Romans. So my room was actually in one of the original watchtower. They redid that. And then also, it's also built around the wall, like the wall and the watchtower. It's so cool. The history there is amazing. Huh. But big piece of history there.
Oh, I love staying in eclectic, interesting hotels.
And this was. So this was definitely a 5-star experience. The service was amazing. It had everything you need. You know, you've got 2 bars. You've got a restaurant that's actually open to the public, too. And then its own little restaurant where we would have breakfast in the morning. And it had a rooftop bar, which is like all over Barcelona and Spain. But it'd have a rooftop bar and a little plunge pool. And you could get bar service up there. Now, I was there in April, and they have a phone up there you can call to have someone bring it up. But during the summertime, I was told that they do have a full-service bar up there.
So is their weather kind of similar to us in the East Coast?
It was in Barcelona. What was funny, though, like I was looking at the weather before I went, and I was seeing mid-60s highs and like 50-ish lows. So that's about similar to what we were in April. But I don't know. And maybe, Donna, I don't know when you were there, but I felt like 65 degrees there felt like 70, 75. It was warm. And on that rooftop, I would be sweating. I don't ever sweat.
Yeah,
65.
I was there in May, and it was very temperate. It got a little sticky in the afternoons, but, you know, it cooled down nicely at night.
Yeah, the nights definitely got chilly. So, yeah, we would walk around during the day, and I would be in short sleeves and 65-degree weather, which is crazy because I would not do that here in North Carolina. I'm always cold. But then the nights would come, and definitely I had to put my jacket on. I have to say another location thing about this hotel, the Mercer. I said it was in the Gothic Quarter, and it is. Really walkable to all of the history there. But also, in the opposite direction was the marina and the port. And then just past that was the beach. And it was, this is the perfect location. We walked everywhere. And there were restaurants along the port and marina, restaurants all along the ocean front, the beach front too. So I just think, yeah, it's just a great location.
So besides eating and drinking, which, you know, we all love about that. Yes. Did you do anything interesting?
Oh, yeah. So we had some good tours. I'm going to remember. The first night that we arrived, we did just a walking and tapas tour. So our guide took us all around and gave us history while we stopped in 3 different places to have some tapas and wine. That was great. It kind of gets you acclimated. And I would say if you only have a few nights in Barcelona, because I know a lot of people will go before a cruise or stay after a cruise because the port's right there, at least do a little walking tour just to get some history and get the lay of the land. We did that the first night. One day we did, that was where I made wine. We went out to a winery just outside of Barcelona, maybe 45 minutes away. We did a winery tour, and then we got to do a little wine tasting and then a wine blending. So I brought home a bottle of wine by blending different wines that I liked. We'll see. In a year and a half, we'll see how it tastes. I have to wait before I uncork it. It was really cool. Okay. It was a really neat experience. And that's a tour that we can book for you. It's really cool.
Well, of course you can.
I'll have to tell you guys about that tour company. It was a new one for me.
But you have to wait a year and a half to drink it.
I do. Yeah. Yeah.
That's the only bad thing.
I know. It's stuck in my wine little thing right now. Yeah, we'll see. And I don't know. I don't know how it'll taste. Like, you know, we were making it. It was a red blend. And I love red blends. But we were tasting very new wine. Like the new, I don't know how to say it, the new pours. And they were not great. But we had to, you know, I know what I normally like. So I was kind of trying to blend with those. We'll see. Mm-hmm. Let's have me back on in like a year and a half and I'll tell you how the wine was. but it was really interesting. So the vineyard, and I wish I'd remembered the name. I didn't bring anything in front of me to look at. The vineyard used, actually, I forget the man's name, but he bought this plot of land that always was a vineyard. He pulled up all the vines, and he used vines from the West Coast. And he put those in Barcelona, I'm sorry, the West Coast of the U.S., California.
Oh, okay.
And he had those put in his land, and it was not, like, the locals were not happy with him because it wasn't going to be a local vine and a local grape, but it turned out to be really popular, and he did really well. So it was kind of a cool idea.
That is actually surprising.
Yeah, it was really neat. The guy, actually, the guy that started it, too, has a really interesting story. He has, like, a back history. He lived in Barcelona as a child. All these different things happened. He ended up in America, in New York first, and then he worked. He was a cab driver and so excited, and he somehow met Frank Sinatra and somehow got tied into that whole group and got into a restaurant waiting tables. Then he opened his own restaurant out on the West Coast, and that's where the whole wine story picture got into his life. And then he moved back to Barcelona and started a vineyard. So that's a little side story. Okay, then another day, let me think what else we did. We did the wine, the tour. That might have been all we did, actually. Yeah, that is. And then the third day, we took the train down to Seville, which is about a five-hour train ride. And the Barcelona train station is kind of a big, busy train station, just FYI. You don't have to change any trains, though. Just one train. There's Wi-Fi on the train. There's food. And I would say, so I did a comfort level because I'm kind of a snob. And I wanted food and I wanted service. So I would say that ticket from memory was about 160 euros.
Ooh.
Yeah. So, and then I flew back, which was about the same price to fly back to Barcelona nonstop, 2 hours. But arriving at a Seville train station is super easy and very easy to navigate, really beautiful too, just not real crowded feeling like Barcelona was.
Every time I hear Seville, I think of the little Rascals skit. Anybody remember that?
No. I remember
Little
Rascals.
No, we're just not as old as you are,
George. That's true too, so maybe it's just
I remember the Little Rascals, but I don't remember a skit about Seville.
Yep, they did the Barber of Seville.
No.
Well, okay.
Now I'm going to have to Google that after we're done.
Look it up. It's on YouTube. You can see it.
Excuse me. So Seville, though, when we were in Seville, it was the week before Easter. And Easter is like, oh my goodness, the biggest holiday down there. There are parades daily for a week. Some are overnight parades, and Seville is really known for all of their parades. And our hotel there was called the Emmy Cathedral. Cathedral, E-M-E, Cathedral, and it was right on the parade route, but we left the day the parades are going to be starting, so I didn't get to see any, but our hotel would have been right on the parade route, so if you're interested in seeing the parade, any of the parades for the week leading up to Easter, the E-M-E Cathedral is a great one to stay at.
Hmm.
And can I just plug also there, they also have an amazing rooftop, huge rooftop bar. It has like three or four different sections, and it overlooks the cathedral right across the street, where supposedly, and I guess this is right, I didn't get to tour the cathedral, Christopher Columbus is buried. That's what they said.
Okay. I didn't know that.
Yeah. And everything, again, walkable in Seville. Everything's so walkable there, too. So many tapas restaurants. Ask me about the food. I love the food. Okay. I'm not a big seafood eater, and I was able to find lots of food. Sangrias everywhere. And
what exactly is sangria?
It's a wine with fruit. So, Donna, do you know exactly? I know it's like kind of...
Well, you can do it with either red wine or white, either one. And they basically mix whatever kind of fruit they have kind of laying around, and they let it kind of sit.
It's kind of sweet.
For a couple hours. It tends to be a little sweeter. But yeah, it's usually, it's got oranges, pineapple, cherries. But it can have apples. It can have, you know, just pears, just about anything.
Yeah. It was good.
Interesting.
They only offered us red there, so I don't know if that was just their local sangria. It was all red. I did learn that cod is a big fish in Barcelona. Not a huge cod fan, I learned.
Really? Mm. Okay. A lot of cod up here in New England. So.
Oh, is there? Oh, that's interesting.
Yes. Oh, yes.
Cape Cod.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, never put that together. That's why it's called Cape Cod.
I assume. I'm just guessing.
I mean, it would make sense, right?
Yeah. So it looks like these Seville and Barcelona are pretty far apart. Yeah. So is the food significantly different between the two areas?
I would not say the food is too different. I will say the temperatures were way different. Where we were just talking about Barcelona being highs 65, the highs down in Seville were in the 80s. A lot different down there. The food, you still had all of the tapas restaurants. I don't think the food is much different, honestly. We had great food. Now, the thing about Seville, so when you're in Barcelona, it's historic, it's beautiful, there's so much to see and do, but you definitely feel like you're in a bigger city. You've got the taller buildings, like old city feel.
Yep.
Seville is a lot more quaint. You have the cathedral, but you don't have these high-rise old buildings. You have the winding streets, cobblestone streets, and at night, these restaurants along the streets, it looks like something out of a book in Paris. All of the restaurants have tables outside, and the whole street is lined with tables full of wine and food and people talking, and it's so lively, and the vibe, I can't even describe, but I just wanted to stay out and just be in it because it was just so lively. It was beautiful.
Now, did you do the full, like, all the courses and everything?
Did we?
Where, I mean, it takes like 4 hours to eat dinner.
Yeah, and the paella. So there's a lot more, I would say, I'm going to say this wrong. I feel like the paella.
Paella.
Yeah. It was both in Barcelona and Seville, but I feel like Seville took a whole different, I feel like they really loved and were proud of their paellas where we were.
Well, I think Barcelona, because it's right on the ocean, I think it usually has more seafood in it.
Yeah.
That makes
Whereas
sense.
You go further inland, it usually has more sausage and pork and things such as that nature.
Yeah. I think, I mean, I did not have a bad meal anywhere. And we,
usually you don't in Spain.
I mean, and it's all those small plates. So if you don't like it, you try something else. The Russian, what do they call it? Russian potatoes. Did you try that? The potato salad? It's basically potato salad. I loved that. I loved it. It was so good.
Mm-mm. No, we ate tapas and it was cheeses.
Oh, yes,
and
the cheeses.
Heart and meats. And then I had octopus for the first time.
Yeah, so that's
in
big over
Barcelona.
There, right?
And it was purple. Yeah. And it was probably one of the best things I've ever tasted.
My gosh, I did not eat the octopus. I did see it served everywhere. That is a big deal in Barcelona.
Hmm.
I remember the other one.
It was like the most succulent lobster. That's what it tasted
like. Oh, my gosh.
That I've ever had. So you missed out, Amy.
That's okay. No desire.
I was being brave.
When we were in Seville, there's another hotel that we did get to tour. We didn't get to stay in. But another Mercer, and it's the Mercer Seville. And this one is also in that old historic area, but maybe two blocks away from where I stayed. And it only has 11 rooms, and it is built in an old castle. Like, it's built right around an old castle mansion. It was like a mansion. You walk in, it almost feels like you're in an Italian piazza. It's beautiful. There's marble everywhere in it downstairs. But it's a lot quieter hotel, I would say. A little more expensive, too. But, yeah, it's still right there. It also has a rooftop bar and a swimming pool.
I'm looking at a map here of Seville, and it looks like they have an amazing park.
Yes, we went to that park.
Did
it was
you?
Walking
okay.
distance. Yeah, it was gorgeous. And what is the name of it? I forget the name of it.
It looks it's like famous. It's Parque de Maria Luisa.
Maybe. Now, if it's the same one, there's like this big, huge, I can't even call it a building, so that's not right, but maybe tons of different buildings. But
the
it's
plaza?
Where they filmed the what?
It's Plaza de España.
Yeah, that's it. That's the one.
Okay.
So that's where they filmed one of the Star Wars, where the one where Luke is in love with, oh my gosh, Princess somebody. What is her name?
Leia.
Not Leia. I'm sorry, not Luke. Young Luke. Is it Young Luke? Wait, gosh. Oh my gosh, I don't know my Star Wars. Now we're going to have to do another podcast. Okay, so one of the Star Wars was filmed there when they were younger. Like when they were the okay. younger version of themselves.
So it was probably Anakin.
Anakin, that's it, that's it, that's okay. it. Yes, yes, thank you.
When he was in love with Padme.
Yes, that's yeah. it. That's the one. Okay. So when she's like walking the castle, that's where that was filmed.
You need to go back and watch your
okay,
Star Wars.
Yeah, I know. All right, yeah. I can see that now.
Yeah, and it's
the
beautiful.
Pictures.
There's horse carriages there. The parks are amazing. It was beautiful. You just walk in pathways. And from memory, they said that this park was built for a man whose daughter, she had some type of physical handicap. And yeah, he built this garden for her. Or he had wow. it built for her, commissioned for her. It was gorgeous. Just gorgeous.
It is
beautiful.
Enormous, too.
It's enormous. It's beautiful. It's very crowded. But there's little vendors there. You can get some food or some water. Take a horse carriage ride. Take some pictures. Nice. Yeah, it's a really, that's kind of a big city feel to it there. Not as much. And it's outside of that little historical quarter that I was in.
Yeah. Yep, it's right by walking. The river.
Yes, that's right, right.
Cool.
Yeah, that was, yeah.
All right. Donna, what else do you have? Anything?
So one of the things that Spain is really famous for is flamenco. Did you see any flamenco shows?
Yes, thank you. Yes. We saw the flamenco in Seville. We did that one in Seville one night, and we couldn't take pictures of that, but we did a dinner and flamenco, and that was, you know, I've seen flamenco like on cartoons or on TV or something, you know, so I kind of knew what it was, but I had no idea what it was. So I did not realize how
it was
emotional.
So much more fantastic.
Yeah, it was amazing, and it was such an emotional dance. I couldn't, yeah, it was intense. It was beautiful. I loved it. And then one of the girls that we were with actually stayed longer in Seville and took a flamenco lesson. How fun.
Yeah.
Which is another thing that you can get planned for you.
Cool.
So if you had to pick one thing to do over again, or which one did you like better, Seville or Barcelona?
So that's tough. And my husband was asking me that too, because they did not get to Seville with us. They only were in Barcelona. I don't know that I can pick. I feel like I like the feel of Seville better. Now, I was only there 3 nights, and I was in Barcelona probably a total of 6 or 7 nights. So I feel like I got to know Barcelona better. I wanted more time in Seville. That was, but I feel like there's more to do in Barcelona, probably.
Well, you know what you have to do
I
now.
I do, yeah. And I also now want to do Madrid now. I want to do Portugal since it's right there, like all the places.
You know what? You know how to book
know,
that stuff.
I know, a girl. I know. That'll be next.
All right, cool. Well, that's our show for this week. Thanks for hanging out with us. Please like our Facebook page, rate us, and be sure to tell your friends about us. You can find our previous episodes on the podcast page of OutlanderTravel.com, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. We'd love to hear from you. Once again, thanks to Amy for joining us this week.
Thank you for having me. Yay! Thank you for letting me be the favorite.
And on behalf of Donna and myself, George, thanks for joining us this week. Gotta fly.